Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, singing Alleluia, Alleluia.
Welcome to the Go and Teach Bible Study broadcast presented by the Monte Vista Church of Christ in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Ken Leach, preacher at Monte Vista, and your host for the next 30 minutes or so. The great prophet Isaiah once said, "Come, let us reason together." That expresses well what I hope to achieve on these radio programs.
Alleluia. Beginning with today's program, I want to deal with a question that has garnered and held the interest of mankind even from the beginning of time, a subject that everyone should be very concerned with, a subject that the Bible deals with extensively. Of course, that subject is the second coming of Jesus Christ. Before I get into that lesson, I'd like to take a moment and say hi to a couple of people that are dear to me that have said that they have begun to listen to our radio program each week, and that's Rick and Kim. They're very special people to me, and I appreciate you listening and considering the things that we have to say on this time period. You know, since Jesus left the earth, that I guess approximately 2,000 years ago, there's been an immense and universal interest shown in the time and the method with which he will return. There have been a lot of philosophers that have expounded their theories on this subject, and there have been many that have been fooled by the errors that have been taught by false teachers. I suppose of all that are interested in the subject, Christians naturally are the most interested. We have an intent interest on the subject when Jesus Christ will return and judgment will occur. The intent of our study is to look at several major aspects of that future event and compare them to what the Bible has to say. First of all, the question, where do we find the promise of his second coming? Or is he coming at all again? Has he already come the second time? Peter's final chapter in 2 Peter 3, verses 3 and 4, says that this is a question that scoffers of the future would ask. Listen to the scriptures. That's 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3 and 4. Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lust, and saying, "Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation." There, even in the days of Peter in the first century, there were those that scoffed at the idea that Jesus Christ would come the second time. The actual promise of his coming we find throughout the New Testament scripture. In fact, let me suggest to you that one out of every 25 verses in the New Testament deal with the subject of his second coming. Over 300 verses in all stress the reality thereof. The second coming is as real and as sure as it was in the first century of his first coming. And that now is a matter of history. We live in a system of jurisprudence that highlights trials that determine guilt and innocence, trials that determine truth and error, that being on the physical side. When you and I get a summons to come and appear as a juror, we take on the responsibility to, with some other people, determine from evidence that has been presented whether or not something is true or false, whether or not someone is innocent or guilty. I'd like to use that concept in our study this morning, and I would like to present to you some witnesses concerning the second coming. Is the second coming a reality to come, or is it just a myth held by many people? First of all, to the witness stand, I would like to bring to you the Godhead, that being God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ. The Apostle Peter, when preaching on Solomon's porch, said in Acts 3, verse 19 and 20, "Repent, therefore, and return, that your sins may be wiped away, in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that He, that's Jehovah, that He may send Jesus the Christ appointed for you. So therein we see in Scripture that God testifies to the fact that Jesus Christ is coming. On Mars Hill that is found in Greece, the Apostle Paul said, as recorded in Acts 17 and verse 31, He, that's God, He hath appointed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath raised from the dead. Another testimony from the Godhead, then, that the second coming of Christ is a reality. Jesus said that He would come a second time in Matthew 25 and verse 31. There we read, "The Son of Man shall come in His glory." I call your attention to Mark 13 and verse 32. Jesus there alludes to His second coming, but denies the knowledge as to when that's going to happen. In John 14, verses 1 through 3, Jesus said, "If I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." The Godhead, on the witness stand of our lesson this morning, in so many places and in so many ways, testifies to the fact that Jesus is coming again. Those passages were all written under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Since all of the Godhead affirms Christ's second coming, we can then say truthfully that God tells us, that God witnesses to the fact that Jesus will come again. Well, now, let's bring another credible witness to the stand, and that is the angels, as the angels testify to the fact that Jesus will come again. In Acts 1 and verse 11, just after the ascension of Christ from Mount Olivet, we read, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen Him go into heaven." It's difficult to understand how one could argue against the truthfulness of angelic testimony. Also, we can see from that verse just how clearly that the angels bring the message of God concerning this subject. Well, another witness that I would like to present to you is the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. The truthfulness of their testimony is written of in many places in the New Testament. I'd like to take the time to share with you just three of those places. First of all, in the book of John, chapter 19 and verse 35, "And he who has seen has testified, and his testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth so that you may believe." Again, in John 21 and verse 24, "This is the disciple who testifies of these things and wrote these things, that we know that his testimony is true." Again, in 1 John 4 and verse 6, "We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." The apostles then, according to those passages, testify validly. They testify with truth. Paul said that Jesus is coming back. In 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 16, Paul wrote, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a spirit, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." Also in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 1, Paul says that Christ will come and judge the living and the dead. Paul affirmed the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, in Titus 2 and verse 13. Again, in Hebrews 9 and verse 28, Paul describes the coming the second time without sin unto salvation. He speaks of the second coming in almost every chapter of the first two epistles that he wrote, those being the ones to the church of the saints in Thessalonica. Peter taught the second coming early in his career. In Acts 3 and verse 20, he says, "And that he may send Jesus who was preached to you before. He also preached the same thing late in his career. In 2 Peter 3 and verse 10, which we noted earlier in this study. The Apostle John, the one of love, the one whom Jesus loved and gave the care of his mother to while Jesus hung on the cruel cross. The Apostle John wrote of the second coming in his first epistle. In 1 John 3 and verse 2, we read, "Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Also, in the last book of the Bible, the book written by the Apostle John from Revelation while he was being held prisoner on the Isle of Patmos by the Roman Empire, he wrote in chapter 1 and verse 7, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every knee shall see him, every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen." As we see from the testimony then of God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, or the Godhead, and we see from the testimony of angels, and we see from testimony of the inspired apostles, the second coming of Jesus Christ is crystal clear. The second aspect of our study this morning will be the time of the coming of Jesus. Does man know when Jesus will come again? Some that have lived, especially some in the days of Paul, have thought and taught in the affirmative of that question. The Apostle Paul dealt with that erroneous teaching in his writings to the Thessalonians. He dealt with it in general and especially specifically in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Jesus Christ did not come in the first century, regardless of what false teachers like Max King and others who adhere to the AD 70 doctrine proclaim. Those earliest of date setters that began even in the time when the apostles lived were wrong. Throughout the centuries, date setters have come and they have gone. There was a significant number of people that picked the year 1000 for the second coming of Christ, possibly because they misunderstood the message of Revelation, the 20th chapter. There was a man by the name of William Miller. He chose 1843, and then, when the second coming did not occur, chose 1844. And many followed the teaching of William Miller. They invested in ascension robes. They climbed mountains so that they could be the first ones to see Christ, but that was false teaching. Jesus did not come the second time in 1843 and 1844. During the last century, such dates as 1914, 1918, 1925, 1937, 1945, 1967, and 1976 were picked by false teachers, assuring their following that those were the dates of the coming of Jesus Christ. Early in the 1900s, parents even took their children out of school because education would not profit them with the second coming of Christ being so imminent. But we're still here. Jesus hasn't honored a single date setter yet. He has proven that man does not manipulate the Messiah. Man is not the one who determines when Jesus will come again. Jesus is not a puppet. Jesus is not a pawn to present-day date-setters. Hal Lindsey was a very prolific and persistent writer and believed in a doctrine that is called premillennialism. He had us in the final countdown with rapture set for 1980, or the decade of the 80s. 7 years later, the coming of Christ would be to Jerusalem, and his millennial reign on David's earthly throne would begin. But it didn't happen. Gene Dixon said that Christ would return before the last century would end. That means prior to midnight, December 31st, 1999. Yet she was on public record predicting events to transpire here on earth well into the 21st century. How does that fit when you compare it with 2 Peter 3 and verse 10, which tells us that Jesus will come as a thief in the night. In Mark the 13th chapter and verse 32, we've already read that Jesus said that no man, no angel, even he himself, knew when the second coming would occur. Whether Christ now knows and whether he doesn't know still, I have no idea. We have no future words from the Lord on that subject. Paul and Peter join together and picture the second coming as a thief coming in the night. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 2, 2 Peter 3 and verse 10. That shows the surprise element of the coming of the Lord. The time of his coming fits into the category of those things that we read about in Deuteronomy 29 and verse 29. That tells us that secret things belong to God. Now I want to examine some of the reasons for which Jesus is not coming, and then we'll follow that with some reasons for which Jesus is coming. First, I want to consider with you five reasons that Jesus Christ is not coming. In other words, we see from testimony that he's coming, and certainly that coming is because of certain things, but there are certain things that did not cause Jesus to promise his second coming. First of all, Jesus is not coming to be born in Bethlehem. The boy of Nazareth and the son of sorrows, those things have already been completed. Those constitute the very completeness of his first coming. Second, Jesus is not coming to engage in a personal ministry of teaching, of preaching, of healing, and of working other miracles to validate his claim to his deity. Those things were done over 2,000 years ago, and without a shadow of doubt, Jesus proved by the working of miracles, he proved by the manner that he lived, he proved by the method by which he was taken from this earth, that he is deity. That does not have to be done again. Well, thirdly, Jesus is not coming the second time to die on Calvary, to be buried in a borrowed grave, and to rise on the third day. Those things were accomplished for 2,000 years ago. He is not coming to establish his kingdom on earth and rule for 1,000 years from earthly Jerusalem. Let me say that again, because there are so many in the present day field of religion that believe that that's true. In fact, the very nation of Israel was established in order to provide an atmosphere in which that could take place. Let me affirm before you again today that Jesus Christ is not coming to establish his kingdom on earth. He is not coming to rule 1,000 years from the literal throne of David in earthly Jerusalem. John the Baptist, Jesus the Christ, and the 12 apostles, and the 70 disciples uniformly taught that the establishment of the kingdom was near at hand in the day in which they lived. Follow closely, if you would, as we look at the scriptures that prove that statement to be true. Let's look first at Matthew 3 and verse 2. And saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." I would like for you to highlight for the purposes of our study in your mind the words, "is at hand." There the Bible tells us that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now I'd like for you to go to Matthew 4 and verse 17. From that time Jesus began to preach and say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Again, highlight in your mind the words, "is at hand." In Matthew 10 and verse 7, Jesus said, "And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Again, in Luke 10 and verse 9, Jesus said, "And heal the sick there, and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you." So now we change a little bit, and we see how that coming of Jesus Christ is defined. It was defined in the first four passages, or the first three that we gave, that being in Matthew 3 and verse 2, Matthew 4 and verse 17, and in Matthew 10 and verse 7, that the kingdom was at hand. And now Luke, in chapter 10 and verse 9, says that the kingdom has come near to you. Look now in Matthew 16 and verse 28. Assuredly, I say to you, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the Son of Man coming in His kingdom. There we narrow down the time limit, don't we, of the establishment of the kingdom of God. It says, not taste death till they see the Son of Man coming in His kingdom. I want you now to look and to give credence to Colossians 3 and verse 13. Colossians 1 and verse 13. There the Apostle Paul said, Colossians 1 and verse 13, He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. So sometime between those passages that we read at the outset of the question and the passage in Colossians 1 and verse 13, the kingdom was established. That was established because people here in Colossians 1 and verse 13 have been delivered into the kingdom. Again, in Hebrews 12 and verse 28, the author says, Therefore, since we are receiving, that's present tense, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Finally, in Revelation 1 and verse 9, I, John, both your brother and companion in tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was on the island that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Did you note that John said that he was in the kingdom? In the tribulation and kingdom is what the Apostle John wrote. There is undeniable truth in those passages of Scripture that Jesus Christ is not coming to establish a kingdom. The kingdom was established in the first century. He is not coming to give man a chance to hear and obey the gospel. The first time He came as Lord and Savior is recorded in Luke, the 19th chapter, verse 10. The first time He came as Lord and Savior is recorded in John 3, verse 16 and 17. The second time that Jesus will come as Lord and Savior is talked about in Acts 17 and verse 31. It's talked about in Matthew 25 and verse 31. It's written about in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. It's written about by the Apostle Paul in Romans 2 and verse 16 and again in Romans 14 and verse 10. There are five reasons then that did not cause Jesus to come the second time. Jesus will not come the second time in order to validate His death by engaging in a personal ministry, including miracles. Jesus will not come the second time to die on Calvary. Jesus will not come the second time to establish a kingdom. Jesus will not come the second time to be born in Jerusalem. Those things have been done. Well, beginning with our next lesson, I would like to go to the Scriptures and find out why it is that Jesus is coming the second time. The Scriptures are just as clear about that subject as they have been about those that we've studied today. I encourage you, pick up your Bible and study. I encourage you to enter into discussions that will further your knowledge of what God would have us to know. And with that, I invite you again to visit us at every opportunity at the Church of Christ, which assembles for worship on Sunday mornings at 9:30, on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock, and on Wednesday evening at 7 for Bible study. We're located at 2202 North 40th Street in Phoenix. Thanks so much for listening, and may you have every opportunity to let a light shine brightly this week for Jesus Christ.
Thank you for joining me today. If you enjoy Bible-centered study, why not come visit the Monte Vista Church of Christ? We're located on the west side of 40th Street between McDowell and Thomas Roads. 2202 North 40th Street is our address. We have Bible classes for all ages each Sunday morning at 9:30 and each Wednesday evening at 7. Everyone interested in God's revelation to man is welcome. We also assemble for worship following our Sunday morning Bible classes, and then again on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. Until next time, this is Ken Leach, hoping you have unlimited opportunity to let your light shine for Jesus Christ. Amen.